Well, this morning we continue our series in Paul's letter to the Colossians. And the dominant thought that runs through this letter all the way through is this. If you have Jesus, you have everything. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need spiritually. And if I was a cult leader trying to lure you away for your money and your commitment to me, this is one passage in the Bible I would hate. And I'd rip it out of my Bible because it warns us about being lured away from Jesus. So if I was a cult leader, that is the passage I would rip out of my Bible. So we've got to beware the danger of being lured away from the Lord Jesus Christ as being central to our faith and to the gospel we preach. Because if you remember, this church at Colossae was being unsettled by teachers who were saying that these Christians needed to be more advanced in their spiritual experience. And the only way to get a super spiritual Christianity was to follow the teaching of these false teachers. And the suggestion was there were spiritual mysteries, great secrets that needed unlocking, the pathway to spiritual fullness, and only these teachers knew the way. And of course, the Christians of humble conscience, who know that we still have so much further to go in terms of holiness and being like Jesus, it can be very unsettling. Maybe there are keys I need to find, doors I need to unlock to understand how to be more mature as a Christian, how I can experience more fully Christian and spiritual fullness. Well, Paul's answer is this: Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. You don't go on or move on from him. He is central. And perhaps the most important two verses in the whole of Colossians, maybe, is chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, just before our passage. Look at those verses, 6 of chapter 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Just as you received, day one, continue, nothing to move on to, as you were taught. Those first lessons you learnt about the gospel, don't move on from those, because they're rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no moving on from him. He is central. And yet, there are temptations to do so. Great temptations to move on from him. And Paul now warns the Colossians how it might happen. And he gives them three warnings through that passage. And the first one is, don't be captured or don't be kidnapped. Look at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive, or it could be kidnaps you, through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Literally, don't be kidnapped from continuing in Jesus by hollow and deceiving teachings. And the word philosophy there is really just a general term for any sets of beliefs and teachings. And they're hollow and empty, says Paul, just based on human tradition. And that phrase there, do you see that? The basic principles of this world, when in fact it probably should be translated elemental spirits of the universe. He's talking about spiritual beings there. What Paul is alluding to is speculation about cosmic spiritual powers and heavenly authorities. You see, what these teachers were doing, they were basing their teaching on human tradition and some kind of cocktail of spiritual cosmic powers. But they're hollow. And they're deceptive, says Paul. You must have come across the polo mint. The mint with a hole. Or if you come from the United States, I think they're called lifesavers. The mint with the hole. And it's a remarkable triumph in marketing, really, when you think about it. Because what they're selling you is a lovely fresh air in the middle. It's yours already, in fact. But they're selling it you. The mint with a hole. And it's wonderful, isn't it? The bit without any mint at all becomes a feature. The hole. How lovely of them to remove some mint for me. That's great. But that's what they've done. You may not be able to see it very well. So there it goes into a pencil a bit like that. Polo mint. Well, there's polo mint teaching. There's polo mint theology. It has no center. And what's removed, the feature of polemic theology and teaching, is Jesus is removed from the center. And that's what Paul is warning them about. Beware of polemic teaching. Polemic teaching removes Jesus from the center. That's the gap. That's what's missing. Do you notice that in verse 8 again? Look, depending on human tradition, the basic elements of this universe, rather than on Christ. That's the point. They removed Jesus from the center. So, it's a polo mint or a lifesaver type theology. No, what you have to do, the remedy, is to see how central Jesus is. Look at verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Do you see that? Jesus could not be more God. He is fully God. He's not just one spiritual being amongst others. He is the God. He's not just one heavenly power. He is the heavenly power. That's the point. Look at verse 10. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. He's above all powers and all authorities. But you notice there again that word fullness. Came in verse 9, comes in verse 10. You've been given fullness in Christ. Most likely a word that these spiritual leaders and teachers were using. You want the fullness of God, do you? You want the fullness of spiritual experience, do you? Maturity. Well, there's a whole spiritual world out there, and we can navigate you through it. We can show you where spiritual experience really is. Just follow our teaching. That's what they were saying. And of course, the Christians of humble conscience think, well, maybe there is more. No, says Paul. Absolutely not. If you are in Jesus, you have nothing more to move on to. What you may need to do is to realize just how much you've already been given in Jesus. But you don't need to move on at all. You've been given fullness in Christ already. Do you see that in verse 10? You've been given fullness in Christ already. And that's what the Colossians were in danger of becoming insecure about. Was there more they should have moved on to by now? Some further advanced fullness of spiritual experience. And of course, if you start to feel insecure about your Christian experience, then you will become vulnerable to teaching that suggests, well, there's some hidden special mystery you've missed out on. Don't get kidnapped by that, says Paul. Look at what you've been given. Look at it. And that's what the next verses are all about. Showing us what we've been given in Jesus through his victory on the cross. And the way he tells us, it's probably slanted in such a way as to address what these false teachers were telling these Colossian Christians in ways in which they were in danger of being kidnapped and led away from Jesus. And the first is teaching about circumcision. Look at verse 11. In him you're also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. These Christians were being attacked on their personal salvation. What these Colossians were being told by these teachers was they needed to be circumcised. That was the final proof of their salvation. That's what would add that little bit of extra. That's what would make sure they're on the way to maturity. That would show great commitment. And of course, it sounds very religious, especially in those days. I mean, it sounds about right. It seems to chime in with Moses. I mean, it could be kind of right. What's wrong with it? Well, Paul says, it's nonsense. That's what's wrong with it. Absolute nonsense. You've been given a far deeper, more fundamental circumcision in your heart. That's what you need, your heart. It's not just flesh that's been taken away from you. It's your sinful nature. Look at verse 11 again. Look, in the putting off of the sinful nature. It's not flesh, it's your sinful nature. That's what's really needed. You were dead in your sins. Look at verse 13. and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature. God made you alive with Christ. You were dead towards God, but Jesus made you alive. That's what's happened. That's what Jesus has done on the cross. That's what separated you from him. And it's been cut away. That's the great circumcision of your heart. It's been cut away, all done by Jesus. So there's no need for any extra religious ceremonies. No additions needed. Absolutely not. And he emphasizes this in verse 12 with this reference to baptism. Because baptism is a great picture of what's happened to Christians. Because as you go down into the water, the old life which cut you off from God is drowned, killed, because Jesus died on the cross for you. And when you come up, you've got the new life. You can now know God. You're alive to God. That's it. What separated you has gone. And you can now know him for yourself. So it's a nonsense to think about adding anything to your salvation. Absolute nonsense. It's polo mint teaching. It takes away the center where Jesus is. You cannot add anything to your personal salvation. You cannot get more saved than you are now in Jesus. You are saved through him. Well, Colossians are also being told by his teachers, not only about circumcision, but they needed to follow certain regulations and religious codes and law as well. And most probably the law of Moses. And again, it sounded so religious and kind of could be right. Because Moses, big figure, law, what sounds about right, a list of things to do. But this was an attack on their acquittal before God. Beginning to feel insecure about their sense of freedom and lack of guilt before God because of what Jesus has done. Look at verse 13, the last part. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he perfectly fulfilled the law. He lived a perfect life. His sacrifice is one perfect sacrifice. The very law that condemns you and me, because we can't keep it, was therefore cancelled on the cross. He fulfilled the law. The sentence that should have been laid out on you and me for not keeping the law was put onto Jesus. God killed him on the cross. So that then the law, the fact we've broken it, we're free. We're forgiven. That thing that condemns us says your sinner is now gone because of the cross. So when Jesus died on the cross as the one perfect sacrifice, the demands of the law were met. He did something you and I could not do. He died a perfectly righteous death and still took the punishment of God. So we're free. And that's your punishment and my punishment. So it's cancelled. So let no one tie you up with regulations and laws about going towards God. Let no one tie you up because that's an attack on your acquittal before God. In God's courtroom, you are pronounced innocent. Innocent. Because Jesus took your guilt. You are free from guilt before God in Jesus Christ. But don't let anyone come and say to you, there are laws and regulations you need to do to get to God. That is polo mint theology. It removes Jesus from the center. You're legally free before God because of what Jesus did. And also what's a polo mint teaching with a hollow middle is this speculation about cosmic forces and authorities. Look at verse 15. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Ah yes, you see the cross has been told. The great spiritual world out there. How do you know you've got it right? You've got to be subservient to all these forces and all these authorities in the heavenly places. You've got to be respectful and fearful and even worship some of them. You see, look at verse 18. Probably some of them were teaching to worship angels. Well, that's nonsense too, says Paul. Absolute nonsense, because whatever exists Whatever powers and authorities are there, Jesus has disarmed them. They're subservient to Jesus. All spiritual opposition has been disarmed. So there's no need to be fearful. No place for worshipping or adhering to any other spiritual forces whatsoever. He is the spiritual authority. Christians should not be fearful people. I remember once as a younger Christian being given a so-called Christian book about spiritual forces in the world. And it was a very scary book, because he gave the impression every town and village had some great threat of some spiritual thing just over it. And Christians had to go around watching what they said and did, and in a state of fear, just in case these things seemed to get you. Well, I went round for years, well, about a year, really worried about this, about spiritual forces. But then I came across a verse like this. I'm not sure it was a verse, but a verse like it. That Jesus has disarmed the powers and authorities, the cross. There is a lot of nonsense written and said about spiritual authorities to make people fearful. Don't get me wrong, there is evil in the world. There is evil. Oh yes. And sometimes evil can look powerful, yes. But against the disarming of Jesus on the cross, they are subservient to him. There is no place you need to fear to go as a Christian because of what Jesus has done on the cross. We shouldn't be fearful people, but the Colossians were being made to feel fearful. No, in Jesus there is total victory. Total victory. Total victory there. So look, sin's cut away. What made you dead in your sins? You're now alive to God. The law that condemned you, cancelled. Spiritual powers disarmed. You are free personally, legally, cosmically. The total power and victory of the cross. So it's clear what Paul is saying here to the Colossians, that the total victory of Jesus on the cross is complete. That's the fullness they have. That's the fullness they can be encouraged about. They need nothing more. But the problem is, we don't always feel as if we have fullness in Jesus, do we? We still sin. We still disobey Jesus. There's still that internal conflict, isn't there, between the work of the Spirit and our sinful nature. There is that still that war going on. And we sometimes think, well, maybe there is a key which will get me through all that. So if someone comes along and says to you, well, dear brother, dear sister, if you want to get over that conflict, you want to move on from that, well, look, I've got the teaching, I can show you. That's terribly wrong, because you have been given fullness by Jesus already. The victory is complete. In fact, the victory is so complete that your totally renewed life in Jesus is already hidden with him in heaven. What you're going to be one day when you get to heaven is already there with Jesus. That is thrilling, and it's true. Just turn over the page to Colossians chapter 3. This demonstrates how totally victorious the cross is. Look at verse 2 of chapter 3. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You died. What cut you off from God is now dead. And what you're going to be is already there. It's already yours in heaven. The victory is total. So what you're like now cannot cut you off from that. Your continuing conflict as a Christian with your sinful nature and the work of the Spirit cannot condemn you. No, it cannot condemn you. Even your continuing sin cannot cut you off from God through Jesus Christ. What you are is guaranteed through what Jesus done. Of course, we don't want to tolerate the sin in our lives. Absolutely not. We want to fight it. But let me tell you, your continuing sin will not disqualify you because of the total cross, of the victory of the cross. Isn't that wonderful? So don't let anybody come along and say, ah, well, you see, I don't think you're holy enough because you're not doing this or that. No, in Jesus, you are totally forgiven. That's why the cross is so central. Oh yes, there are things we have to kill in our lives. Oh yes, but the great death has died. What cut you off, the penalty for sin, has been paid. Oh yes, the continuing sin, we need to put that to death. And Paul mentions that in verse 5 of chapter 3. Do you see that? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Yeah, there's a work to be done in our lives, but it will not disqualify you. Be assured. Maybe you're discouraged as a Christian. Maybe you feel battle-weary. Well, let this be an encouragement to you. Nothing can take your prize away because of the total victory of Jesus on the cross. So don't be captured by anything that leads you away from Jesus or anyone who tries to add to your salvation. And there are plenty of them. Don't be captured. But also Paul warns in verse 16, look, don't let anyone judge you. Look at verse 16 of chapter 2. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that are where to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And all those there in verse 16 are Jewish celebrations and restrictions. And isn't it so easy to feel inferior spiritually sometimes? Because there we are. Somebody comes up with a great program of what to do and what not to do. What you must give up and what you must take up. And you think, well, I seem to be able to have to do more to work to guarantee my salvation. No. Don't let anyone judge you by how you live your Christian life in Jesus. No. It can sound very spiritual. It can sound very spiritual. But the clue comes in verse 17. Where's the reality? Look, it's got to be found in Christ. That's the point. God is judge. And in Jesus, the judgment was taken out on him, not on you. Your life is already hid with Jesus. Don't let anyone judge you. Sure, there are good ideas to help us in our Christian walk, but they're just maybe good ideas. Don't let someone tell you it's the universal truth for all Christians. No, under Jesus, it's his word that says you're free. Don't anyone judge you. And he says also, don't let anyone disqualify you. Look at verse 18. Don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head. Don't anyone disqualify you. This is a picture of the umpire, maybe in tennis, saying, out. Or in cricket saying, you're out. Or in football saying, offside, no goal. It's somebody else saying, you haven't quite made it. I know how you can make it. You haven't quite made it. If you just did this, then you know you're a real Christian. Dear brothers and sisters, do not believe that. No. Somebody who puffs themselves up as the great authority, who leads you away from his word or from Jesus, has lost connection with Jesus. They've lost Jesus. Do you see that in verse 19? He's lost connection with the head. If somebody takes central stage apart from Jesus, they've lost connection with Jesus. Do not listen. Do not go there. Do not go there. There are no second-rate Christians. You know the truth in Jesus through him. You're forgiven. You're free. Do not let anyone disqualify you from the prize. It's yours in heaven, there waiting for you. And we mustn't do that. Always beware anyone who leads you from Jesus. Always beware anyone or anything that undermines your confidence in your salvation through Jesus on the cross. Beware anyone or anything that tries to tell you that somehow you need something else to make sure of your salvation. We should be so confident that we renew our faithful service of Jesus, so confident that with a skip, with joy in our hearts, we even renew the battle of sin in our lives. Not to win the prize, but to please our Master and to please Jesus Christ. Anything else is hollow teaching. The center is taken out. And isn't it wonderful that we are here at a communion service where we're taken right back to the center with the bread and the wine, the broken body, the shed blood. We're taken back to the fullness that Jesus has given us in the cross. Forgiveness. This puts the center back because we're reminded, taken back to the cross. We're forgiven. So Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. This is really what it's about. Look at that again. The verses we had at the beginning. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus, Lord, continue to live in him. Go nowhere else. It's to Jesus. Just as you were taught. Jesus. 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 He is the center and the source of your confidence as a Christian. Let's pray. The price is paid. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful victory on the cross. And we thank you that in the Lord Jesus, our lives with you are hidden, kept. We rejoice in that, and that nothing can take that away from us. May you renew our faithfulness, renew our service, renew our joy, safe in the knowledge of the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And we ask this in his name. Amen.